Do you want to manifest your dream life? Or maybe you're like me, and manifestation is a little too woo-woo for you, and you can't even help but roll your eyes a little when the word comes up? Or maybe you're in the middle, and you believe that there is power in manifesting your dream life. You understand the power of the mind, and you respect the power of the flow of energy in the universe. But you also know that there are certain habits that you need to change that are more tangible and action-based to get you to where you want to go. So if you've ever been confused about the realities of manifestation and where the line lies between the power of the mind and science, then you are not alone. Welcome to Change Made Easy. Changing your habits and routines is hard. We make it easy. My name is Paul Levitin. I am a board-licensed health and wellness coach, and I have been working to help people just like you change their habits and routines for over a decade. Being that I came from a very science-based background, the concept of manifestation is always something that I've personally struggled with. I want to believe, and there is a lot of good science out there that actually points to manifestation and mindfulness being real tools that you can use in your journey to create change. So to get to the bottom of this, I'm excited to introduce today's guest. Caroline Offenstein is a former professional bodybuilder and CrossFit athlete, as well as a former nutrition and fitness coach. But Caroline's personal journey has taken her out of the world of fitness and into the world of mindfulness and manifestation. With having such a structured background in health and wellness and fitness, I was super interested to learn from Caroline how she changed her habits and routines to a more holistic lifestyle while still maintaining her results and general lifestyle inside of the gym. Have you ever wondered how to balance the scientific with the spiritual? Well, today we discuss that, as well as how our thoughts and beliefs create our actions in reality, the science of manifestation, why Caroline teaches more than willpower, and why you should think about taking a mellow moment throughout the day. So please enjoy this conversation on manifesting your dream life with Caroline Offenstein. Macros, Muscle, and Manifestation. That's the name of your podcast, which I absolutely love. Anyone listening should definitely go check it out. But macros and muscle, to me, are very sciencey. Manifestation, possibly not. So how do you balance those things from someone I know with your background who came up in fitness and still is very involved in the fitness world?
Yeah, so right, we in the fitness space, in the nutrition and macro space, we're very like evidence-based, right? Like, I want to talk about the studies. I want to talk about, how much protein my body can use each meal and that sort of thing. And that is really how I lived most of my life and my fitness journey for years. But then I discovered manifestation. And that really changed things for me. It was really like a missing piece of the puzzle to step out of all of the logical evidence, science, research, and more into like what else is possible in my reality. And honestly, manifestation, depending on who you're talking to, it can be very woo-woo, but it can also be pretty practical because manifestation, how I define it, is bringing an idea basically into your reality as a real thing. And that comes a lot from your beliefs and your mindset and then taking action. And when you think about mindset and beliefs, there actually is a lot of research on those topics, right? Like, anyone interested in this, Mindset by Carol Dweck is a great book where she really goes into like growth versus scarcity mindset, how our thoughts and beliefs shape our actions. And when you think about it, then your actions do create your reality, right? So I think it's, like I said, you can make it as woo-woo and as like spiritual and out there as you want, or you can be like, well, wait, hypnotherapy is a really developing field. Mindset is a really developing field. And I think it really, manifestation just brings everything together, how I use it with my clients in terms of fitness and nutrition.
Yeah, I like what you said about the whole we try to be overly logical. Like, that's me. I'm always like, I'm too logical, right? I know that that's like my fatal flaw is that like everything is like, well, like how does that work? And it's very hard for me to just like accept things at face value. So,
when you said that manifestation became for you personally the missing piece of the puzzle, what do you mean exactly? What happened when you first discovered manifestation in your own personal life or your career or whatever that made you such a believer that now you promote it so highly?
Yeah. So back in kind of end of 2018, I kind of made the shift from hardcore CrossFit background to bodybuilding. And I wanted to go all in on physique goals versus like the performance aspect of CrossFit. And during my first prep is so tough, man. Like I was struggling. Things were hard. Like I'd never dieted so hard in my life. And that's when I discovered manifestation. And I found basically a meditation course that was all about the energetics of success and manifestation. And I basically listened to that course and followed through it. It was like a 30-day, 10, 15 minutes every day for 30 days. And things just like clicked for me. People talk about like their spiritual awakenings and all these things. And I don't know if I really had, if that's what you would call this, but it was really when I was like, wow, my beliefs are so powerful. And I hadn't really looked at myself through that lens before, because just like you, I cared about the science of nutrition. I cared about the science of training. And this just gave me a whole new lens to look at like how I treat my body, how I think about my body, how I believe or doubt my own success in my goals. And to the way that helped me in my first prep, I carried it on through all of my bodybuilding shows, and I had great success in competing. I only competed for 2 years and won my pro card in that time, which is pretty rare. And I attributed a lot to like the mindset work that I did on myself and the reprogramming of some of my beliefs versus like, a lot of us get stuck in that kind of self-doubt, that questioning ourselves, that like, can I really do this? The self-sabotage, that those vicious loops that a lot of us get stuck in sometimes. And this is the tool that really totally broke me out of that.
Hey, real quick, we'll be back to the show in just a few seconds, but right now I have to ask you for a huge favor. If you're getting value out of this episode so far, take 2 seconds and share it with a friend. I mean, right now, literally, hit the little share button and send it in a text to your roommate or your cousin or your mom or your brother or your sister. Seriously, spread the love. If you like what you're hearing, then that's the best way that you can show support for this show. Because maybe you're like Eliza Kay, who said, "This podcast is both warm and inviting, but real enough to push and motivate me." Or you're like Dalton, who said, "Paul is an amazing host and his podcast is a must listen." Don't you want to share this awesomeness with your friends and family? Don't be a gatekeeper. It only takes a second. It helps me grow and reach a new audience. And you seem like a genius friend who recommends new, awesome podcasts. We all win. All right, go send that text. And now let's get back to the show.
Yeah, I totally agree. I self-sabotage, getting stuck in loops. These are things that I talk about a lot. And I think that this is what holds everyone back. But can you actually get specific? Like, what is a belief that you had maybe negatively that was holding you back, or something that you manifestation or changing your mindset around helped you specifically in that quest to become a pro card holding bodybuilder?
Yeah, good question. I would say for me, I mean, now that I said self-sabotage, that is the first thing on my mind, because I actually also used to struggle with disordered eating and definitely would do like the restrict and binge. And anyone who's been there knows like it gets you nowhere fast. And the more I learned about mindset and the beliefs I had about myself, what I realized is I basically was putting myself in situations that I didn't feel safe, or they didn't feel comfortable because they were so different. Like prep was a great example of this, like contest prep for bodybuilding, because I literally had never done it before. It was totally unfamiliar, and it was physically very uncomfortable, but also uncomfortable in the sense of like, there were so many unknowns. I didn't know how my body was going to respond. I didn't know what it was going to feel like to be on stage. I didn't know about the crazy tan and all these things. I didn't know how I would compare to the other women who would show up. And all of those thoughts, those are all fear-based, right? So we're constantly like, oh, this is scary. When you're in that I'm scared mode, that's basically the same as having a fight or flight response. So your body is going to do whatever it can to get you back to that safe, comfortable place. The problem is, if we just all hang out in our comfort zones, nothing happens, right? We don't reach our goals. Our goals are on, you know, a level up here, higher than where you are now, let's say, and your comfort zone is where you are right now, which is probably a little bit lower. So to actually get over some of that self-sabotage, it really takes looking at your beliefs, like what are you telling yourself and how can you create a safe space with your body that, for example, like doesn't have to do with food, doesn't have to do with binge eating, because that's just a very simple evolutionary response to bring our bodies back to safety, especially when we're dieting.
What is your stance with getting through that? And do we just rely on willpower? Or how do you, when your brain is always looking for safety, but you just said, I have to not be in safety to get my results, how do I balance those two things?
Yeah. So, yeah, I really like that you brought up willpower and motivation, because I think a lot of us are like, okay, so if I want to overeat and I'm in a diet phase, I just need to summon the motivation to hold strong. And that's kind of like the opposite of what I'm saying, right? Because that's very conscious minded. That's very like, I get to decide that I am summoning my willpower and motivation right now. But the problem is that like self-sabotage, if we're talking about kind of overeating and this specific situation, that's not conscious, right? Nobody's consciously choosing to sabotage their goals. That's why like maybe self-sabotage isn't even the best term for it, because you're not consciously choosing that. You are not deciding to take a step back. Nobody wants to do that. So this is where the subconscious and your beliefs are so, so powerful. And I have worked with a hypnotherapist in the past as well. I'm very interested in like hypnotherapy and our subconscious. And I actually created a free workshop called More Than Willpower on this topic of why that consciously relying on more motivation doesn't really help, because that conscious mind is only active like 10% of the time. 90% of the time, we're in more of our subconscious mode. And this is because of evolution, right? Our subconscious wanted to be in control more, because like if you were a caveman and you touched something hot, you don't want to consciously have to think to remove your hand. Your subconscious removes your hand from the hot thing. So thanks to evolution, we developed this response to have our subconscious be in control more often than not. And so that's where going deeper than like the motivation or I just have to have the willpower to hit my macros. It's more about like, what are you telling yourself throughout the day? What is that dialogue when you're not paying attention, when you're not super dialed in your conscious mind? What's happening behind the scenes? Are there usually those fear thoughts going on? Is it more your inner critic talking? If you can start to really build awareness of that, I think that's really where the magic happens in more linear success.
So awareness, you just said, is the key, the first step. And I found in my experience with clients and with myself that often we are aware, but after the fact, right? I know after I ate McDonald's that I'm like, damn, I shouldn't have done that. I know after I skip my workout the next day, I'm like, I should have worked out yesterday. I know when I finished the whole season of Netflix, when I was just going to watch one episode, I'm like, I had work to do today. You know, so how, in your experience as a coach for many years and in yourself, who clearly, you know, liking the word motivation or not, you have some level of it because you've been able to push yourself to do all these amazing things. How do we get out ahead of this and not fall behind the eight ball, so to speak, with the awareness that's always coming after we've already done the deed and it's too late to take back?
Yeah, super good question, because this is really where I believe like the real work is, right? Because just like you said, it's easy to notice after the fact, but what are you doing throughout the day to create that awareness during your tasks or during whatever you do throughout the day? that's really where I think the key is. So I'm sure you talk with a lot of your clients about morning routine. I'm a huge fan of morning routine. This is nothing that has to be set in stone. I actually like to allow mine to fluctuate between like what I do each day, but taking some type of quiet time, some time for stillness, some time for reflection or intention setting, or even just connecting with your goal, visualizing your goal. That's a great piece of manifestation too. Like anything you do in the morning can set you up for more of that awareness throughout the day, because it's almost like part of your attention span, right? Like our attention goes so many places. So it kind of makes sense. Like if we're just like you said, if like you're eating McDonald's, let's say you're eating McDonald's and you're on Instagram, you're totally not paying attention. So how can you focus on bringing your attention more to like what you do throughout the day? I mean, that just, if everyone did that, the world would probably be a better place. Like we'd all be a little bit less distracted and kind of more in tune with our bodies, which I think is another big key for success. So I guess long answer for your question, but just practicing bringing more attention and awareness to what you're doing throughout the whole day. Like one thing I do is I've really cut back on my screen time. I'm pretty proud of myself, but I still will like check if I'm taking a pause throughout the day and I notice myself reach for my phone, I unlock my phone, I start to press on the Instagram button, like notice those triggers heading up. So sometimes I'll like pick up my phone, I'll unlock it, and I'm like, oh my God, I was just mindlessly going for Instagram, and I'll stop myself. But again, it takes practice. It takes practice of bringing your attention back to like, what are you actually doing right now?
Yeah, it's just be more aware of yourself. I don't think that is to say that that's a quick fix or that's going to change anything, but to be able to stop yourself in those moments, or to be able to notice in those moments, even if you can't stop yourself, because that's the first step, right? I had an app on my phone called Moment, actually, which is weird, but they tells you about screen time. This was before the Apple phone did screen time, and it would tell me also how many times I picked up my phone each day. And it was like a nauseatingly high number. It'd be like, you touched your phone 550 times today, you know? And like that awareness made me not want to touch my phone anymore. So that's why things like writing down your food or writing down your activity or keeping a journal or any of these million different things that bring our awareness to the forefront, I think can be so powerful. And you mentioned a pause or just something. Is there anything specifically that you use for yourself or your clients, either in the morning routine or just in general, to bring that awareness when you catch yourself in that moment? Or what do you do when you catch yourself in that moment, reaching for your phone, reaching for Instagram, and being like, wait, I'm supposed to be doing whatever?
Yeah. And I really like, also, but before I get into that, like, I like how you said it's okay if you even keep doing the thing that you were trying to avoid. That's really, really powerful, I think, because it's not about like flipping a switch and tomorrow you just do everything you want perfectly, right? That's probably not going to happen. But even if I do pick up my phone and I do open it and I get into Instagram, that's okay. If I notice like, oh, I just did, you know, this, this, and this that led to me now scrolling. That is so powerful to just realize it and then fine, scroll, but just realize it first. That right there, the more you do that, that's how you build that habit. As far as like practices, one thing that I really encourage is some type of quiet time throughout the day. So I know a lot of people are not a fan of meditation. That's okay. I personally love it. And it took me, I don't know, I've probably meditated on and off for like 10 years, but it took me probably until this year that I finally feel like I've really gotten my practice down. But even if that's not for you, I sometimes tell my clients, just take a mellow moment. Just take a moment where you watch the critters outside and do nothing else. Just like watch the birds hop in the snow or whatever outside. Or take 3 deep breaths. Like if you catch yourself opening your phone and you're working on screen time, take a deep breath. It's so simple, but so many of us just don't even like breathe well throughout the day. Honestly, with our stress response going, that affects your posture, that affects how you lift even. So even just stopping to take a big like belly breath using your diaphragm can be really helpful. Or like knitting, you know, doing drawing, painting, like any of those activities that quiet your thinking mind, that like ego mind telling you all the, again, like the fear and the inner critic, that's all related there too. When you drop into these activities that are require some stillness and some quiet, even if you're still kind of moving, those are really powerful to drop back into your body, connect maybe to your intuition a little bit more than your ego. So that's a great place to start too.
I definitely agree. I have a morning routine checklist that I send to all my clients. I did a podcast on this a while back. And for anyone who wants it, I'll put the link in the show notes. It's a free download. If you want to download, it's a 10-step morning routine. And it's pretty simple and straightforward. It's a lot of the same things that you're saying. And on it, I have sitting in silence because I know that the word meditation scares a lot of people. So I'm like, I don't care what you do. Sit without your phone for 5 minutes. If you want to breathe, breathe. If you want to meditate, meditate. You want to, get, like you said, count squirrels outside, count squirrels. But the point is, especially in the morning, to take some time to yourself to be alone with your thoughts. So often, because we have this world of infinite inputs, this world of like always scrolling, this world of Uber Eats that will deliver a hamburger straight to my mouth at the moment I feel the slightest bit of discomfort, that I can find another show when my show ends and another show when that ends. And like, we never have to be alone, which we feel is comforting because it's like, we don't like being alone and it's scary, but we need that ability to just sit with our thoughts and be okay. And that's why people are so afraid of meditation. I think I suck at meditation. I shouldn't say that. I'm trying to be better at meditation, but it is one of those things that is hard, but just sitting in silence is so powerful. And as you said, I can take that a step further and just do something. Journaling is the one I recommend the most because, again, it forces you to do one thing. We always want to be, we're always doing multiple things in this world at this time. And just to be able to sort through your thoughts, right? I have a million thoughts going through my head right now, but to speak to you, I have to distill it down to one thought. And writing will do the same thing. I could, my brain can be going a mile a minute and there's overwhelm and there's stress and there's anxiety. But when I have to take pen to paper and literally distill that down to one stream of consciousness at a time, it makes me slow down. Maybe I take a few belly breaths while I'm doing it. Maybe I, you know, look outside in nature because all of these things are good in their own right and can probably combine. I think that people really overcomplicate this stuff a lot, right? I've had about 30 some odd guests on this show and nothing that you're saying is anything different than every other person is saying or that I say all the time. I mean, I feel like I'm talking to myself because this is the stuff that everyone needs to hear. And this is why I like having these conversations because sometimes I think like, well, should I be talking about the same stuff all the time? But it's like, this is it. It doesn't have to get people want, well, how do I program a workout or is my, what carb to fat ratio? It's like, breathe, shut up for a little while. Look at a squirrel, go outside, let your feet touch the dirt. You know, it's so simple. So, you know, that kind of makes me think of the next question I have for you, which is like, where do you see people really overcomplicating this stuff and that and actually holds them back rather than, you know, sometimes overcomplicating it can help, right? I need to for a reason, but like, where have you seen people really get overly complex in whatever area and that it actually leads to their own detriment?
Yeah, like we've been talking about, you know, those of us who are really interested in fitness and nutrition, a lot of times we do overcomplicate it. Or maybe like connected to that, we make success linked to struggle. Like it has to be hard because I have to follow all these rules and I have to follow them just right. And I have to train X days a week and I have to train in this way because it's the most anabolic or whatever it may be. When these moments of stillness can give us so much more power. Like I have found so much empowerment this year in coming back to my body and finding a balance between, okay, I have years and years of knowledge of macros and fitness now. How do I really incorporate this into balance in my lifestyle? Which a lot of people think balance is bullshit, but I feel like I definitely used to think that, but this year really changed things for me because I started to do more of these quiet time practices, these mellow moments, and allow my body to give me a little bit more advice in a way. So I think how people overcomplicate it is we have all these rules that are taking up so much space in our head and we're trying to do all of them just right because we feel like if we're not where we want to be, we're missing something in one of those like rules or facts about science or nutrition. when sometimes all you have to do is just take these pauses and come back to your body and be like, okay, what do I actually need today? Because at the end of the day, our bodies don't want to be obese. They don't want to be sick. They want to be healthy and fit and active. So if you can start to create this, and this is going to look different for everyone, right? But if you can start to create this like gray area between everything that you learn, everything that you consume as far as information about fitness and nutrition with what your body is asking for, with what's really going to feel good to you that day, I think that's like the smoothest road to success to your goals.
Yeah, there's a lot there that I want to unpack and trail off from. But first is the part you said in the very beginning about how we have this thing about like success is linked to struggle. And therefore, we think that we have to struggle more to get success, right? And I think that this is a huge one, because you did say in the beginning that like, if we stay in our comfort zone, we don't get anywhere, right? So it's this weird thing of like, if we stay in our comfort zone, we don't get anywhere. And I need to struggle to get outside of my comfort zone. Ipso facto, therefore, more struggle must equal more success. But there is a point of diminishing returns with this stuff where you do need to struggle a little bit. There needs to be some discomfort. But people take that to then say, well, if I then torture myself, or if I work myself out to a pulp and I'm sweating and dying on the floor at the end of the workout, or again, we don't have to take this to fitness. This is why I think this is very important, because people think, again, that success is linked to struggle. And the more struggle means more success. And then that means conversely, that if something is too easy, that it can't lead to success. And I think that is the big problem that I really want to highlight here, because if success is linked to struggle, breathing is easy. Resting is easy. Taking time off is easy. All this stuff. And it's like, well, that can't possibly make me better. So why would I waste time doing it? When also we can say that if it's so easy, why can't you do it? But like, whatever, you know, we'll leave that part of the conversation. So I think that that's like a super important topic of, and it goes to what I'm always saying on this podcast, which is how fitness is a perfect analogy for life, and that people want to do too much when you do need that level of struggle, but too much struggle is going to have adverse effects. So how do you know what that sweet spot is?
Yeah, I really like how you brought this up. I would challenge the language too, because I think of it as like, you should welcome some challenges into your life, right? Some obstacles. That's totally, totally normal, but they don't have to be this like mountain of struggle. You know, like I definitely used to be that, like I said, I was a CrossFitter first and foremost in my fitness journey. And I like, oh my God, I would literally injure myself like all the time, just like trying to go harder, go faster, do more. I'm so sad for that previous version of myself. But so challenge, like fitness is a great analogy, because yes, you do need to challenge yourself in the gym if you want to see your physique change, if you want to get stronger. But there's a big difference between like progressive overload each week in your strength training and going so hard in a CrossFit workout that you're like injured on the floor, dying. There's a huge difference between those. So I think kind of breaking apart that like struggle into, okay, how can I challenge myself today? How can I take a step that feels like a little uncomfortable, but I'm not going towards burnout city, right? I'm not feeling like totally dead every day. I'm not trying to work until 3 a.m. I'm not feeling like I'm grinding every second. So it is like that, like you kind of said, that balance, that medley of how do I challenge myself just enough, but not feel like I'm burning out. And that is, again, something that everyone does kind of have to figure out for themselves a little bit. But I think the, like we've been talking about, the awareness that like it doesn't have to be a struggle and feel impossible and feel hard and shitty every day. If that's how it feels, you probably want to dial something back, because otherwise you will just get burnt out.
Yeah. And I think that one, you said that just your choice of words make a difference, right? Like saying, I want to challenge myself and I can thrive off of a challenge, that's a good thing. Challenge is great. Saying I have to struggle, struggle has a negative connotation, and words matter. And I'm very particular about words. I teach an entire course about words and why they're so important to us. So I think that that's an important point. But I do also want to relate this back to other things that aren't just fitness. But I don't, again, it's a perfect analogy, because diet, same thing, right? if I have to struggle through my diet every day, I know that that's a diet that I'm not going to stick to. Now, again, are there times when someone brings home a pizza and I probably don't need to eat an extra slice and that's a challenge and that's like me, but that's me respecting my body and saying, okay, that's fine. But me hating my diet, I just had this conversation with a client literally a few days ago and he was just talking about like, yeah, man, like I just hate it. Like I can get to the end of the day, but it just feels like torture and I really hate it and I can keep doing it, but I just don't like it. And I said to him, as far as I know, no one that I can name, no one that I've ever read about, no one that I've ever met has achieved an extreme level of success through something they hate. Like no one ever hates their way to the top, whether it's hating a workout, hating a diet, hating the business that you're doing, hating your job. Like you can do it. You can grind through it for a time, but that is the recipe for success and burnout. And respecting yourself and your body and your life enough to draw that line in the sand and say that, you know, I need to be challenged. I want to be challenged, because some people go the opposite. Like, well, I just don't want to be challenged at all. But that's not good either. Because as you said, the human body does want certain things, right? It does want to be at a healthy weight. Now, it doesn't want to be skinny. It wants to be at a healthy weight. It doesn't want to be jacked. It wants to be able to move, right? So we can make distinctions there too. I'm not saying that anyone needs to be a CrossFitter or anyone needs to have a six pack. That's definitely not the case. But there is a level of the human body will tell you, right? People who don't move ever get sick and die. People who move a lot stay healthy and live. You know, it's a very, very, very simple binary choice. So
I think you hit on a really good point there too, as far as if you are in your diet or if you are on your way to a goal and you're struggling every day. And like your client said, like, I really don't like this. I hate it. It's too hard. That's a good time to reevaluate like your intention behind your goal too, because this is coming out, I think, in January. So everyone just missed my goal setting challenge. But I developed this challenge to help people set goals from a place of like connection with their soul, connection with their higher self, however you want to say it. Because what I realized is with a lot of clients that I worked with, they didn't even have like a really deep desire behind their goals. Because a lot of us set goals based on other people's like expectations or what other people define as success. And we haven't even asked ourselves, like, how do we define health? How do I define fitness and longevity in my wellness routine? Or like setting goals around shoulds a lot too. Like I should do this. I should look like this. I should have this body. I should do this workout. So that's another point to notice too. If you do feel like it's a hard, crappy struggle every day, come back to your goals and like, whose goals are you working towards? Are they actually your own goals? That's a good question to ask yourself.
I love that question. Is your goal even your goal? So how do you know, you mentioned a few times, like honoring your body and listening to your body. What does that mean to you? And how can I use that as my guiding light or my compass?
Someone, speaking as myself, as someone who has a background of lots of rule following, lots of should following, this has taken me like a good portion of the last 2 years to come back to my body and start listening and honestly just like understanding when my body is trying to tell me something, because of how ingrained I was into tracking and working out X days and all these things. So a practice that is, again, super simple, it's always the simple things that I really enjoy, is basically like picturing if I'm really stuck in my head of like, oh, like stressed out about something or questioning food choices, workout choices, whatever it may be. If I can just take a second to like, I like to close my eyes. I'm a visual person, and visualize like all of those thoughts spinning in my head. And then as I breathe, you know, kind of like a deep, slow breath, visualize all of that like energy that you're sending to your mind coming down into your body. And you'll notice that just like as you kind of visualize that, and I like to think of like honey, like warm honey dripping down from your head, down your shoulders, into your body. One, it's very relaxing to do something like this. And two, all of those thoughts start to dissipate when you come into your body. And to me, that's how I know, like, okay, I am centered now. I am grounded, however you want to say it. And I'll even ask myself, you know, like, body, is there anything that you need from me today? Or like, how do I want to move today? Or what foods sound really good for me today? And if that sounds like even too much for some people, you can start even simpler than that. Like when you are doing your meal prep, do I want to meal prep chicken or beef this week? As simple as that, you know, like, do I want to have this fruit or this fruit with my meal? And just take a second to take a little bit of focus off of your thinking mind and come back to like, what does my body actually want to eat? Because a lot of times they're going to give us a great answer. Like we talked about before, like our bodies want to be healthy and thriving. So you're really not going to be steered wrong, especially if you take this time to build this kind of reconnection. Because I think a lot of us do get a little lost and almost forget like how to tune in. So another thing that just takes practice, but it can be really, really simple and take you like 1 minute each day.
I love that. And this is exactly the type of stuff that I was so looking forward to about talking to you, because it's such a unique perspective that you have, where someone who is a certified pro bodybuilder and has competed in CrossFit at high levels and been a fitness and nutrition coach for many years. And here you're talking about visualizations and honoring your body's wants and needs for different food choices, not saying, well, it was on the plan for today, so I have to eat, you know, 3 ounces of chicken. You just said, listen to your body. So I think that that's so powerful. And that I really want to talk about this for the people listening, in that, because I know that a lot of people would think, and my first thought was like, well, yeah, my body's going to tell me to eat the whole thing of Ben and Jerry's. And, you know, but understand that that will never actually happen. Your body will never, ever tell you to eat unhealthy. Your brain might. Your cravings come from your brain. Your body wants nutrients. And this is a thing that people have to understand, because they'll say like, oh, I really craved that burger or that thing or that the Oreos or the whatever. And again, that's a mental craving. That's because your brain knows the taste and it's looking for the reward of getting it. The body is hungry. Your stomach gets hungry and it will tell you to eat because it needs nutrients. The stomach, those stomach rumbling does not tell you I need Oreos. It tells you I need food. And food is, at a deep evolutionary level, produce and protein. Very simple things. Things that, again, if you want to go paleo, our ancestors would eat. So if you're sitting here thinking, well, like, I listen to my body all the time and it tells me to have wine and cheese, that's not real. You are not listening to your body. You're listening to your mind, which is fine. You can do that. We all have cravings, and I'm not saying to never eat those things, but I am saying that you have to make a distinction and understanding that your body will tell you the right answer. And I've been using this a lot with my clients and with myself, and this compass of how will I feel after I eat that thing? It's such a simple, again, binary thing. If I drink a bottle of wine and have a wine and cheese plate for dinner, and just cheese and crackers and wine, I know that the next day I will not feel good. My body will tell me, hey, that was not a good idea. Similarly, I have never met anyone who's eaten a salad and a nice whatever on a glass of water and said, I feel so sluggish now. I know a lot of people who do that with McDonald's or Oreos or whatever. Same thing. I've never met someone who went for a workout and gone, ugh, I feel so shitty after that workout. I know a lot of people, myself included, who binge 7 hours of Netflix and go, wow, I'm a real piece of shit today, huh? And I didn't get off the couch for 7 hours because I was just watching Netflix. So our brain, our body will always know the right thing after the fact. So you're binging on Oreos might be what my cravings tell me to do, but it is never actually what my body wants. And I had a guest on here named Adam Gilbert, who created a company called My Body Tutor, which is like the world's number one nutrition coaching company. And you know what he said, which he's coined, I don't know if he made this up, but a lot of people, you might have probably heard it before, what he calls like the broccoli test or something like that, where it's like, if I'm saying I'm hungry, would I eat broccoli right now? And if I say yes, if I would eat broccoli, then that's hunger, because that's my body being hungry. But if I go, no, I really want a milkshake, then that's not hunger, that's a craving, right? So we have to understand that one is a mental thing and one is a body thing. Same thing with rest. Same thing with like, okay, like, yeah, I'm just like, I'm too tired to go to the gym and I need rest. And there's, I don't feel like going to the gym and I want to watch Netflix. And those are two different things. One is a body thing. One is respecting your body and giving your body what it wants and needs. And one is, I want to watch Netflix. You know?
Very, very true. And I'm glad you brought up sugar cravings too, because that is, I feel like I hear about sugar cravings all the time. Like that is my number one hurdle between me and my goals. But in reality, like usually when your body's craving sugar, what is sugar? It's like pure energy. It's pure calories. So that probably is just a sign that you're actually hungry. And if you eat a meal that is like, yeah, steak and broccoli, that craving will probably go away. Or if you always have these sugar cravings, it's a good opportunity to talk to your coach and be like, hey, I'm always craving sugar. Okay, then you probably need like a refeed day or a diet break or something because your body's just asking for calories. So yeah, the more you practice this, the more you do tune in, you get better and better at interpreting those signals, just like you said.
Yeah. So I actually want to ask you one question though about this, because we've talked a lot about the mental side of things, right? We talked about, you know, manifestation, and we've talked about just self-belief and talking and meditation and a million other things. And we've also said that you have a unique background in fitness and you still maintain a, what I understand to be a high level of fitness, much more so than I care to maintain for myself. So kudos to you. So which is more important, or not even to say which is more important, because I know that's an impossible question. Which comes first in this battle for a healthy, happy life, the mental or the physical?
I love this question because I think that it's a big myth that they're separate, right? Like you can't have one without the other. You can't have like the crazy, like the first prep I did was meal plan. Like I could not make any of my own choices of food. It was like 5 days a week of workouts. It was like hours of cardio, but I still couldn't. So that's, you know, like a lot of the pushing the body, but I couldn't have gotten there without still creating the routine, creating the mindset that's going to carry me there too. And same thing, vice versa. Like you can sit on your ass and say you're meditating and manifesting all day, but if you don't like take action with your physical body and come into this 3D world and do stuff, you're not going to see the results you want either. So I really do, I hope this isn't a cop-out answer, but I really don't think you can separate them. I think you need to be respecting your body and your mind.
There's only good answers here. So I think that and it was kind of a trick question because I don't think that you can separate them either. It's, you know, it's a chicken or the egg scenario and you can't have one without the other. They come hand in hand together. So I do appreciate that answer. And, you know, my last question for you that I ask all my guests here is, if you could leave listeners with one action step that they can take today, as soon as they take their headphones off from this podcast to start living a healthier, happier life, you've already given a bunch, but what would your one action step be?
Start thanking your body more. Start thanking your body for everything it does for you. Even if you're not at the physique you want, even if you're not at whatever goal career-wise or lifestyle-wise you want, your body is still carrying you every day. It's still doing so much for you every day. And I truly believe that acceptance precedes change, which is a quote I've heard. I did not make this up. But as cheesy as it sounds, the more that you can appreciate your body and accept exactly where you are right now, the easier it is to see change tomorrow and in the future.
I think that's beautiful. I love that. And personally, part of my daily affirmations and mantras is I give gratitude for my body because it is the vessel that takes me through this life. And because of that, I need to treat it with respect. So that then that's how I live my life. That's why I exercise and eat well. It's not because I want to look a certain way. It's literally because this is my body and I only get one. And why else? What I can't do anything else but treat it well. So I think that that's a great, beautiful mantra for people to have. So thank you so much for being here, Caroline. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed this. Obviously, you know, people will know why, because we just hit it off on so many levels. And I can't wait to be a guest on your podcast. So for anyone listening, go check out Caroline's podcast. The link is in the show notes, and listen to my episode on hers.
Well, now you are ready to go and manifest your dream life. I love the way Caroline tiptoes between the scientific and the spiritual. It is such a fine line and one that I personally struggle with at times, but I really do think that the magic is in the middle ground. One note, in this episode, I referenced Caroline's podcast as Macros and Manifestation. Since recording this episode, Caroline has rebranded her show. It is now called Naturally Caroline. So I've linked to that in the show notes, which does include my interview that we did on her show a few years back. So remember, Deepak Chopra said, simply, With a change of mind, you can change your life. Start with your thoughts, and everything will grow from there. Now that is change made easy. Before you go, I just have to ask you for a huge favor. If you enjoyed or got value from this episode at all, then take a moment and leave a rating and review in the podcast app that you're listening or watching on. If you like the show and you want me to continue to create more episodes and be able to get awesome guests that will help make changing your life easier, then this is the best way you can show support. You can leave a 5-star review on iTunes like Eliza Kay, who said, "This podcast is both warm and inviting, but real enough to push and motivate me." Thank you, Eliza. Or you can be like Dalton, who said, "Paul is an amazing host and his podcast is a must listen." Thank you, Dalton. And thank you to all of the over 100 people who have taken the time to rate and review this show 5 stars on iTunes, or the dozens who have left 5-star reviews on Spotify. It only takes a minute and it helps me grow. It helps me reach a new audience, and it lets me know that this is helping someone, which just feels good. All you have to do is go to the show page of whatever app you're listening to and hit the little 5 stars. Or go to the comments section on YouTube and boom, that's it. And if you really want to show love, take a screenshot when you do it and tag me in your stories on social media at Change Made Easy, and I'll shout you out in an upcoming episode. All right, go leave that rating, and I'll see you back here every Tuesday and Thursday with new episodes of Change Made Easy.